response.
Is your business struggling to be seen, not reaching the right customers?
Yeah.
Odyssey's here to help. Your one-stop shop for digital marketing.
Wait, really?
With targeted digital media, plus SEO, SEM, social, OTT, and more, we help your business reach the right audience and drive results.
Whoa, hey, one at a time.
Stop missing out on valuable customers. Visit digitallocalads.com to learn more about our local advertising solutions. That's digitallocalads.com.
Okay, people, line starts here.
Welcome back, guys. DGS 104.1 FM, KMOX, a few minutes past 2 p.m. Our buddy Jeff Faulkner is here with Mr. Blue Sky, the ELO tribute. And he brought a friend, drummer extraordinaire and all-around good guy, Steve Bunk. Good to see you, man. It's been too long.
Yeah,
way too long.
Been a long time.
Catch me up. Get up there, right up under the mic for me.
Yeah, how are you doing?
I'm good. How are you? What's been going on in your life and your musical life?
I've been pretty busy, I guess you could say. I've got a lot of stuff going on, coming up real fast. Besides Mr. Blue Sky, which we have a couple shows coming up at City Winery, May 15th and 16th. The week after that, I leave for a tour with my other band, Pavlov's Dog. Mm-hmm. I'll be in Germany and Belgium for a quick week tour.
You guys are huge over there.
Yeah, it's crazy. And
huge in Belgium.
Huge in Belgium. Small country. But we have some big stuff coming up this fall I can't talk about yet, but it's going to be mind-blowing for us to go where
Very
we're going.
Nice. I have a drum question for you.
Yeah.
So I consider myself a pretty good hacker, but I never learned anything. I can't do rudiments. I can just play. So for someone at my advanced age who wants to kind of get back into drumming, would you say start at the beginning and build your way up like you're 12 years old, or just have fun with it? Just do what you do.
Do all of it. Have fun with it while you're doing those basics. You can really use those basics to get where you're going and apply to what you know musically. You know, listen to your music you love to do and try to do those things along with it.
Yeah.
And the next thing you know, you'll be falling right in line with what you're listening to and what you want to play.
When did you start? How old were you?
I always had sticks around the house. Got the first kit when I was like 8.
Wow.
And then just never really stopped.
And did you do the whole training thing? And
yeah, I loved that though. You know, I never had a problem with it or thought anything weird about it. I actually studied with probably at one point 3 teachers at the same time. I loved
it
so much.
Man.
Yeah, parents were really supportive of it. So they just said, yeah, go.
That's
just
cool.
Just don't overplay because you might lose your gig if you overplay.
Yeah, right. Which Steve Bunk would never do.
That's right.
How about you, Jeff? What's your story?
Oh, man. I got a very long, detailed story. What's my story musically or what's my story just
in general? When did you pick up a guitar? Did you take a bunch of lessons?
Oh, I started playing when I was around 12. And I just kind of picked up things here and there from friends of mine who had started playing around the same time I did. I never took any organized lessons really until maybe like 7 or 8 years ago.
Wow. What was that like? Already being a really good musician, and then you're like, kind of like what I was talking about with Steve. Did you feel like a neophyte again?
It was one of the best things I have ever done as a musician, really. I studied with a guy named Duke Michalak.
Oh, yeah.
And Florian Michalak is his real name, but he goes by Duke. And, I mean, Richard Fortus has studied with him.
Legendary.
Jimmy Griffith has studied with him. Peter Mayer has taken lessons from him.
Best guitarist I've ever
Jerry
seen.
Jerry Jost has taken lessons from him, on and on and on. And it was literally, this guy eats, sleeps, and breathes music theory.
Are you guys old enough to have seen PM play?
Oh, yeah. I saw it with Roger for a short time.
Yeah, I didn't see
Holy
PM,
hell.
But I've seen Peter Mayer solo a lot. And Peter is, I'm here to tell you, one of the best guitar players I've ever seen in my
life.
The
voice,
and his
songwriting.
Singing voice. His songwriting is just
beautiful.
He is just in another world musically. Man.
Roger Guth was one of my first favorite drummers.
Yeah.
Like, you know, a local guy. I wasn't used to seeing local guys with those kind of chops.
Yeah.
I've seen Peter with R. Scott Bryant a lot, and R. Scott Bryant was just incredible.
Yeah.
But Peter always has just some of the best players with him.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. A lot of the guys who are in the Buffett band, who were in the Buffett band, play with Peter.
Yeah. I mean, Buffett, I don't know Buffett, but my understanding is that once he met the guys from PM, he pretty much just turned the band over.
Yeah.
And, like, you just run the band.
Yeah.
You know,
and the guy I took lessons from, Duke, you know, he was like, you know, like Peter, guys like Peter Mayer and Richard Fortus, like they were already good before they came to me, you know. But when I started feeding them this theory stuff and they started applying that to their God-given ability, that's what really sent them into like the stratosphere.
That's cool.
You know, so knowing that theory, my advice to musicians is know a little bit of theory at least.
Mm-hmm.
You know some modes, know some scales, mm-hmm. learn that stuff because it really, really helps.
Do you guys get affected? I mean, you guys are both much better than I am. Not being self-deprecating, it's just a fact. But when I watch TikTok and I see an 8-year-old doing stuff that I can't imagine doing, does it ever just depress you or does it inspire you?
I turn it off.
Good man.
For me,
freaks me out.
For me, it's inspirational, you know. But I've never been like one of those like shredding guitarists. You know, when I was younger, I wanted to play as fast as I could, and I was able to do a little bit of that. But the older you get, you know, the more I've learned to respect guys like David Gilmour, who really like use the guitar as a way to sing, and create melody.
You know? Who the first guy for me was like that. Was when I first got introduced to music, listening to old George Harrison Beatles albums.
Oh, yeah.
Just one note at a time, brother.
Yeah, yeah. And you listen to like some of that Badfinger stuff and some of those like slide solos that George Harrison did on that stuff.
I didn't know he did that.
Oh, yeah. The song Day After Day, that slide guitar solo.
Yeah.
George Harrison. Maybe.
Wow.
Yeah. That's cool. Paul played like drums on a couple of their tunes. And the Beatles took them under their wing and produced them. And,
it's too bad Badfinger didn't last.
Oh, what a great band.
Yeah. One of my faves. Yeah. So these guys are here to talk about Mr. Blue Sky, the ELO tribute. The next one is City Winery, where I'm taking a tour next week to do a possible DGS live. So can't wait to see the room. And it's going to be the 15th and 16th of May. And the 16th, I'm going to Chicago, like I told the guys, but I should be there come hell or high water on the 15th.
Right.
Really excited about seeing you guys.
We'll have you sit in on something.
There you go.
Yeah.
Love it.
Yeah.
Let me send in for bunk. I'll hit stuff up.
We'll give you a cowbell.
Cowbell.
There you go.
Cowbell.
This now is a cowbell.
That's a tough one to mess up. You can't really mess up.
Oh, I've seen it happen.
I've seen it happen.
Yeah. Do you ever let guys come up and play your kit? Like, you know how it is. Every Saturday, someone's like, dude, I'm a drummer.
Drummers are picky.
I've had it
about
happen,
that,
so. And I end up with broken cymbals and dented drum heads, and I'm like, nah.
It can't go well, because if they're better than you, that sucks. That happened to me when I was playing in a Christian band way back, and I was at a church, and we were playing, and I'm only 19, and some like 14-year-old kid comes up, and his friends are like, he's a great drummer, he's better than you. I'm like, yeah, whatever. And he's like, well, just let me play. And he does a solo, and he stands up, and he walks around the drum kit playing the stands and playing people's boobs. It was just like, oh my God, what a giant mistake I just made.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just kept letting him do it.
Hey, man, whatever suits your
I rarely
fancy.
Had someone come up and play drums who wasn't better than me. that's a common denominator there.
Right.
Want to do a song or two for us?
We can do a tune.
Okay.
Yeah.
What you going
to
do?
You know, I was thinking about which song I wanted to do. I wanted to do something we haven't done on the show yet.
Yeah.
So we're going to do one called Sweet Talkin' Woman.
Love it.
It's got some background vocals, so everybody feel
Jump
free to sing
in.
Along. You know. Did you go? And I was searching on a one-way street, and I was hoping for a chance to meet, waiting for the operator on the line. What can I do? Don't know what I'm gonna do. Gotta get back to you. You gotta slow down, sweet talking woman. You got me running, got me searching. Hold on, sweet talking lover. So sad, that's the way it's over. I was. Many days go by, and I was thinking about the lonely nights, communication breakdown all around. What can I do? No, 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 don't know what I'm gonna do. I gotta get back to you. You gotta slow down. Sweet talking woman, you got me running, got me searching. Hold on, sweet talking lover.
So sad if that's the way it's over. And I've been living on a dead end street, and I've been asking everybody I meet. Insufficient data coming through. What can I do? No, 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 don't know what I'm gonna do. I gotta get back to you. Oh, slow down, sweet talking woman. You got me running, got me searching. Hold on, sweet talking lover. So sad, that's the way it's over. You gotta slow down, sweet talking woman. You got me running, got me searching. Hold on, sweet talking lover. So sad, that's the way it's over.
Man, that takes some balls. That's good. That's fun.
Thank you very much.
That's a rough one to sing.
You don't
think of Jeff Lynne as being difficult to sing. He's got a great voice. He has a very Beatles-esque voice, obviously. Yeah. The perfect voice for ELO. It's sort of like Jimmy was just here last week and we were talking about Tom Petty.
Yeah.
I never thought about Tom Petty having a high voice until I sang Tom Petty.
Yeah, he gets up there on some stuff. Jeff Lynne really can get up there on some stuff.
He's got a great, almost... who's my boy from Journey? Steve Perry. Almost has that level falsetto.
Well, his falsetto can get up there. His organic voice isn't quite at the range of his Steve Perry, but that's the thing Jeff Lynne was really good at is switching from his organic voice to his falsetto voice.
Yeah.
And he could really like do some awesome things with his falsetto. And that's something that I wasn't really competent with, going back and forth between my real voice and falsetto.
It's
but I've really had to work on that and kind of refine that as long as we've been doing this.
Yeah, very nice.
And you know, just getting, and there's so much vocal harmony going on with this music. We've put a lot of work into getting the harmonies where they need to be, and just the overall instrumentation and the production. Jeff Lynne just overproduced everything.
So
we've really worked hard the last 6 years to get it sounding as close to the record as we possibly can get them, and it's pretty damn close.
Where'd you find your string musicians?
The string players came a lot quicker than I thought. Like, I thought it would take me forever to find some good string players. But Jake Brookman, our cello player, was the first guy I picked up. And Jake was in a band called the Suede Chain back in the day. And we played this, you know, we were all back in the all original music circuit. We were all playing the scene. And Jake is an unbelievable cello player. And then I got a girl named Jessie Youngblood, who... she's a part of Metro Theater Group and has done some, string quartets with a bunch of people around town. And then we've got a girl named Abby Stahlschmidt, who's, I guess, kind of our first.
Yeah, we know Abby.
Yeah, yeah. And she's like our first violinist. And Abby's an incredible violin player.
Yeah.
Too
bad she's not more attractive.
Yeah.
She can really go places.
Yeah, she's a little hard on the eyes.
Yeah.
But, it, you know.
Makes up for it with talent.
It didn't bother me. No. She's also, we joke, but she's
awesome.
Also an international model. You know? But, she just fits in really well with like all of the lead violin stuff that's going on. We have 10 people in the band. Like I said, it's been going on for 6 years now, and things just keep getting better and better.
Yeah.
You know, and we've been doing, like I mentioned before, mostly bigger places, man. Del Mar Hall, Pageant, Chesterfield Amphitheater, places like that. So these city winery shows on the 15th and 16th of May are going to be a great opportunity for people to see this thing up close, man.
It's still a full show.
It's still going to be a full show.
Because so many times people will do like acoustic for smaller places.
Yeah, we might play around with a couple tunes to kind of strip them back because it's such a smaller venue to get the kind of crowd interaction going a little bit more. But it's going to be pretty much same show we do.
Yeah.
All the hits, some deep cuts. But if you haven't been to City Winery before, it is a really cool spot. There's about 7 or 8 of them around the country.
Yeah.
You go in, you sit, you have great food, and then you take in some great music.
Awesome. How do people get tickets?
So you can go to citywinery.com/St-Louis.
Okay.
Or you can go to MrBlueSkyMusic.com, and that's Mr. with an M-R.
Beautiful. Good to see you, Steve.
You too.
All right.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, real people tell their stories live on stage.
I burst into tears. And I wasn't sure if I was crying because I hadn't been kissed in a really long time or if I had just never been kissed like that before.
To hear fascinating, heartbreaking, and sometimes hilarious stories from astronauts, teachers, farmers, and people just like you, follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to 224 DGS. Big Blonde Dan, who's been a friend of the show forever, says that his mom sang with PM back in the day. PM, you guys don't know him, but one of, if not the best, original bands ever to come out of St. Louis. Most talented, amazing, love them. And then they became Jimmy Buffett's band and became millionaires. So, yeah, Dan, I probably saw your mom and tried to buy her a drink before you were born. Could have been your daddy.
The possibilities.
Big Blonde Dave Jr. Well, he wouldn't be that big.
I was say he wouldn't be 6'4" or
and
whatever.
He wouldn't be blonde. He'd just be Dave Jr.
I think his name's pronounced Jimmy Buffet. That's how I've always pronounced it.
He's been sitting on that one for a while.
Yeah.
So, miracle of miracles, we've sent Siani down to Memphis.
I mean, I really feel like I hate piling on the player because there's nothing wrong with the player, right?
He's just doing
his job.
Michael
Siani is just doing what he's being told to
excellently,
do.
Excellently, by the
and
way.
I want him to succeed. And ideally, the kid goes down to Memphis, works on his offensive game, and gets better at it. Like this is not about him. It's just kind of the usage of a player and kind of the waste of a bench spot. When you don't have the luxury of just having a defensive specialist.
Think about
there.
It for a moment.
And by the way, they sent him down to activate Mason Wynn, which basically just means they're keeping Sajacy. Yes.
Yeah. Think about, because we've talked about this before, Siani is someone that you and I and everyone else will go like, oh my God, he sucks. Get him out. He is in the top 1% of outfielders in the major leagues.
In the world.
And he can hit 220. Mm. I mean, like, you know what I mean? That's not setting the world on fire, but he is an elite athlete.
He is a major league quality player that puts him in the top 1% of the top 1% of people in the world who play this game at all, right? At any age, any level, he is in the top 1% of the top 1%. But this team doesn't need a defensive specialist. They need more versatility. They need more bats. They need the ability to score more runs. And keeping in mind, you know, we were talking about this last night when they did the, you know, the thing that this is one of the things that managers had a weak spot for. He really loves the defensive substitution in the outfield when you have a lead. And they did it in a one-run game yesterday. Well, what happened? You blew the lead. Had nothing to do with outfield defense. Wasn't Siani's fault. But then you could have been in a spot in extra innings where your weaker hitter is coming up. Because
well,
you took Jordan
also,
Walker out.
Yeah, but he didn't have his arm.
Well, and here's the thing. Jordan Walker has really gotten better as an outfielder.
Yes.
Why are we subbing him out? I mean, he's playing this year as, you know, as one of the top 25% of all outfielders.
What's the answer? What is Ali's answer?
It's that Siani's got better range and they want to catch as many fly balls as they can. But like yesterday, because they moved Victor Scott to right field, they didn't have a chance to throw a runner out. They had a chance to throw Austin Riley out. Jordan Walker has his arm strength is in the top 1% of position players. He has an elite arm, and you might have had a chance, but you don't with an average or slightly above average arm there. So that move actually backfired last night and cost you a chance at an out anyway.
Welcome back, guys. DGS 232. Rick.
Hey, it's Jen Hatmaker. Here's what I've learned in midlife. Joy isn't the reward you earn after all the work is done. Joy is the work. That's what this new series on For the Love is all about. The sacred, yes. It's choosing delight, rest, and pleasure on purpose. Because saying yes to yourself, that's the thing that finally lets you fill your table with everybody else. Come find your sacred yes with me. Follow and listen to For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.
Key Horton's going to join us at the top of the hour. Lots of Cardinal stuff to talk about. We just had Jeff Faulkner and Steve Bunk on, two of St. Louis's premier journeyman musicians. I love music. I play music. I sing music. Guess what I don't do? I rarely listen to music anymore.
Really?
The most music I listen to is bumper music on this show.
Really?
Wow. Yeah. I just, in the car, I love talk or podcasts. Every now and then, like on a beautiful day like this, when I had the old Jeep, I would, you know, plug in my Apple Music and play a few tunes and, you know, felt great. But I don't listen ever at home.
Wow.
I know. And I just kind of realized that in the last couple of days. I have a stereo. I'm like, man, you just never turn this thing on.
Yeah.
You know, I never listen to music at home really either. It's primarily a commute thing, or if I'm out, like, you know, if I take a walk or whatever, I might listen to music for that. But it is usually like a commuting in the car thing for me.
Yeah.
You don't do it in the car, Dave?
No, because I typically, like, I'll listen to you on the way home.
Okay.
You're the problem.
Good reason, yeah.
And, yeah, and I'll listen to KMOX on the way in.
What about on road trips, like if you're driving to KU or something?
Usually podcasts.
All right.
Yeah, I like to be more engaged.
Okay.
For me, music in the car is more like a Saturday, Sunday drive and
all right,
the wind whipping your lack of hair and,
yeah,
you know.
I listen to music every day.
Yeah, I know.
Literally every day.
Good for you.
Yeah.
How about you, Rachel?
Not on a moral thing. It's part of the routine.
I listen a lot in the car, and sometimes I listen at home. I just got these earbuds that are noise canceling,
yeah,
which I've never had a pair like that, mm-hmm, before. They're so, it's a game changer.
Really?
Like, yeah. But yeah, once in a while at home, but pretty much every day in the car.
And you want to drive a semi without the tractor or trailer on it.
It looks so fun and freeing whenever they're just zipping along and they don't have the trailer on it. It's like, man,
so just
I bet
the
they're having a good time. Just the cab.
Mm-hmm. I think that's called bobtailing.
Well, I don't know.
Something like that.
I'm not cool enough to know that.
I don't know. You know the truckers. I never met one.
I saw that today and I was like, man, I bet that person feels so free.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, normally you got the big old trailer on it.
Mm-hmm.
I always thought the sleeper trucks looked fun.
Yeah.
Ones that have like a little space in,
yeah,
the back that you can
cool.
go lay down and stuff.
When I was doing lives for a trucking company a few years ago, they had one of their drivers, this older lady, probably my age, who only started about 10 years before that, take me out in her big rig. And she had a little dog, and it went to the bathroom on pee pads, and it almost never got out of the truck. It was like a little chihuahua kind of thing, and it just lived in her truck, which kind of made me sad, but I guess if...
Yeah.
Dog's good. She's good.
Hey, he's a dog. It's fine.
It's one of those jobs that looks impossible, driving a big, giant,
yes,
truck.
And, you know, I always watch the trucks pretty closely because they give me anxiety sometimes. Because you always hear, like, oh, they can't see you when you're on their side and all this stuff. I've noticed lately driving in the city, sometimes whenever these big trucks make a turn, they're not staying in their lane like at all. I'm not saying like every driver does this. I think there's a lot of new drivers out there.
A lot of young drivers.
Yes, who kind of don't understand like how to cut it exactly right. And it is a nail biter when you, yeah, see this kind of stuff happen. Let me tell
you. It's almost, Robert says, bobtailing, I guess I was right, is more dangerous to drive than without a trailer.
Wait, really?
But what's?
Well, you probably are used
to the weight shift.
Yeah, if you've spent, if you've spent the last, 120 hours driving this thing across the country and it's got all this weight on it, and then you suddenly lose all that, probably messes with your. I mean, it's like if your car could suddenly go like way, way faster or
so stop.
You
have no weight abruptly on the rear axles without a trailer.
All right, makes sense.
Most jobs seem impossible to me. They really do.
Well, jobs with like real responsibility.
Yeah.
Like, the truck thing is like you could hurt people and then you're hauling cargo that people,
yeah,
need. It's an important job for sure.
Yeah. I just did an interview this morning. Hello, Robin. For the City Lifestyle magazine. I did that photo shoot the other day at City Museum. I'm going to be the centerfold cover girl
centerfold
in June. Yeah. I took a few photos.
Damn, you didn't show us those photos.
No, those are pay to play.
is it Burt Reynolds with the famous?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, one of those.
Now that would have been funny.
That was hilarious.
Magazine's going to come in like Mylar packaging with a little
that would have been really
bar
funny.
Got to buy it from behind the counter at the gas station.
But I hate to just keep harping on this thought of the day, but doing this 90-minute interview, I realized there's just so many things I can't do. Like the magazine article is about what I can do, obviously. 25 years in radio, great. I spend a lot more time thinking about what I can't do. Are you guys like that? Or is it just my mental illness coming out?
No, I try not to think about the things I can't do.
I don't think you're alone.
Then I just feel...
But I'm pretty comfortable knowing, yeah, there's a lot of crap I can't
guess
do.
I'm just very, yeah, impressed. with the things that people can do.
When we sit and watch, when we have musicians in here, whether it's Jimmy or I'm blown away. I can't even dream of doing that.
Yeah.
I mean, I know, like, if I started when I was 12 and I took lessons, I know I could have, but it's such a foreign thing to me to be able to do that.
Yeah.
To play a guitar. I'm like, I don't know. I get the strummy hand. I don't understand what you're doing with all the other stuff.
Strummy hand's the easy hand.
I know. That's what I figured. I could do that. I can't figure out how to make the
shapes.
Notes and chords.
Yeah. Razor's Edge?
Yeah. You guys want to do some hypothetical question?
Yeah.
Okay. I was thinking of the movie by M. Night Shyamalan, The Village, the other day. And you guys, have you all seen the film?
Of which one?
The Village.
The Village is awesome.
So if you are listening at home and you've never seen the movie, basically it's this community that is sealed off from the rest of the world. And to them, it's like the late 1800s or something. But really, it's 2004. So they have to leave the
community. Spoiler alert.
Yeah. Yeah, sorry about that.
That's an old enough movie.
It's an old one. Come on.
If you haven't seen it by now, it's not a priority for you.
Fine.
But I was thinking, like, if you could create your own community that was sealed off from the world, like, what era would you pick for your village? Because I think I might pick the 90s.
Really?
Yeah. That would be tough to pull off because there is some technology there, but I really liked my childhood, just like you liked yours, Dave. Like, I think back very fondly on just like that period of time, and I'm glad that I existed during that time.
Yeah.
And, you know, kind of the internet was around, but it was pretty much pre-internet, but there were all the benefits of having the internet somewhat there.
Yeah.
I would love to create a community where it's just like 1998.
I think I would choose a very movie-esque, upper middle class neighborhood, swinging, not necessarily wife swapping, but you know, just like cool from the 60s. I like that aesthetic.
Like Mad Men.
Yeah, that, and I was alive back then, so I have some memories of it, but I wasn't old enough to really understand or appreciate anything.
Did your mom, did she dress like Betty Draper, like with the big skirts and stuff?
No. My mom had her own, my mom was stylish. She cared about her appearance. She cared about clothes, but not like that.
Okay.
Like she wasn't a skirt or sundress kind of lady. Yeah, but she always looked very good. My dad wore the sundresses.
Okay. What about you, Wheels? What's your village?
I don't know. It has to be pre-internet, otherwise people are going to figure out they're in lockdown.
Just pretend it's all right.
I don't know. I don't know if I want to go with the familiar, because the easy familiar would be the 80s, because it was fun. But I did that, so I don't know, like medieval times.
Wow.
You fit right in.
Jousts, okay. and you know, yeah. Yeah, nice. but with toilets. Medieval times with running water.
All right. Oh my goodness.
Very specific.
Come on, that would be great, wouldn't it? You had to eliminate the worst parts of it, but who says you can't have medieval life with plumbing?
It's Manor Ridge.
It's your village. No, this is like my sixth spam risk phone call today, and I'm just kidding.
Oh, dude, I have gotten so many of them lately.
Yeah, 217 number has got a hold of me.
Oh, that's
and
me.
They are.
I mean, I'm getting six a day.
Yeah, I'm getting well over six a day. I'm getting closer to like a dozen. It's a very, very annoying. If you're out there listening, Mr. Spam Man,
I want to track them down.
Yeah. I want to punch them.
Let's go on a hunt.
Andrew, what's your dream village?
Probably like 2011. 2011
wow,
was
that's
good.
Very specific.
Yeah, 2010, 2011, that was a good time. You know, things weren't so intense with all of the technology stuff, but we still had most of it. You know, Netflix was still good. You know, YouTube was still good. You could, you know, hang out, play video games or whatever. There were good TV shows on back at that point. That was the era when Mad Men was actually airing.
Would you be in 2011 or would you be your age now?
Oh, wow. No preference. You know, it's bad all the way down.
Alrighty then.
Robert says he has 8 semi-trucks whenever I'm ready.
I noticed you're the only one he invited.
Yeah.
Well, I was the one saying I wanted to drive without the trailer on it. But
now
that is
dangerous.
One thing. You talk about things where you're like, I can't do that. I wouldn't be able to do that. I would be so anxious that I was going to wreck the truck.
I didn't know this at the time, but when we moved from one house to another in Chicago, from our first to our second house, I rented a truck, and I thought It was an automatic transmission and a regular size moving truck, and they gave me the like 30-foot truck with the full stick shift and the manual, and I'm like,
can you drive a stick?
It's game time.
I have, but never a big ass truck like that. And I made it. I think I ground a few gears, but you know, it wasn't a very far move.
I would love to have a stick shift again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's fun when I've done it, but it's also like, I don't know if it's a lot.
Did you ever learn, Rich?
No. I would like to learn, but I also feel like I would be pretty bad.
I'm an excellent teacher.
Okay.
I'm good at that. Yeah.
Yeah. I like doing it. I mean, it was the times I've done it, it's a fun thing, but then I feel like it would get old.
Yeah.
Like every stoplight, every time.
So my dad and I went looking for a car for me when I was like 17. And I found this one I really, really liked, and it was a stick, and I couldn't drive a stick.
Yeah.
And my dad couldn't drive a stick.
Oh.
And I know, that's weird, isn't it?
That shocks me.
I know. I know. Or maybe he just was uncomfortable with it.
Maybe he just didn't like it.
And my dad was my dad, and he's like, you can drive a stick. And I'm like, yeah. He's like, how can you drive a stick? I'm like, oh, my buddy Bernardo Gonzalez has a stick, and he taught me how to do it. So we take it for a test drive, and it goes exactly how you think.
You're like.
With two drivers in Canada. Oh, my God. The GD came out so many times, I can't even tell you.
Yeah. I'm surprised.
That was his favorite.
Because that's obviously, for a long time, that's all you had was the manual transmission.
Yeah. I miss it.
I mean, I don't know. My dad had always had the Corvette that was always stick shift, and I was not allowed to drive that.
Yeah,
understandable. I was too. You know, when I'm 17, he's not going to put that in my hands.
Yeah.
So I drove it around the block. So that's partly how I learned how to use a stick. But I mean, it was only like neighborhood streets. But I just thought that was a thing. I thought everybody older than me knew how to do it.
I'm sure they did. I think my dad was just kind of sheepish about it. Probably been a long time since he didn't want to look stupid. And then he looked really stupid. Really, really stupid.
Well, we can all identify with that.
Welcome back, guys. DGS 250. I was thinking about nostalgic smells. They say that smells are inextricably linked to memory. And I think if I had to name a top three from my childhood, an amalgam, if you will, it would be cigarette smoke, Chanel number 5, which is what my mom wore every day of her life, and Bactine. That would sum up my childhood. How about you guys? Anything pop to mind?
Sunscreen pops.
Sunscreen's a good one.
Yeah, me too.
Wheels was putting some on before the game last week, and I was like, that's summer, baby.
Yeah, I hate it, but it's necessary. It's a million. I don't know. I mean, I spent most of my childhood outside. So, I mean, like, grass would be right at the top of the list because we were always...
Cut grass and your dad barbecuing.
Even if it wasn't cut grass. I mean, we'd be out playing football. We'd be out, you know, practicing our diving plays for baseball. And you just always had grass stains on you. You always had that smell about you.
The taste of KC masterpiece. My mom barbecued a ton during the summer when I was younger. And that was our sauce of choice.
Nice.
Was the KC masterpiece. I still
we were
prefer
a
Moles
family.
I still prefer the, you know, sludgier, dark Kansas City
I
barbecue.
Feel you. Did you ever go to the KC masterpiece out on Lindbergh? The nice one?
No.
It was amazing.
It was like a restaurant?
Yes.
Oh,
it
my
was
gosh.
A true KC masterpiece restaurant, and it was really quality. And it was mostly barbecue, and it was fantastic.
I had no idea this even existed.
It was very upscale. It wasn't like, you know, $100 a person upscale, but
well, it's a masterpiece.
It was a nice restaurant.
Wow, nice. It's gone now, I guess?
For probably 15 years.
Oh, that's crushing. I got to say, that's one of the greatest things of our modern times is you're not basically down to 3 barbecue sauces at the store.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You can pick literally dozens of them. Good local restaurants have them at the store, you know. I mean, you got good old reliable Sweet Baby Ray's and all of its flavors.
What's the pit one?
Open pit. That was all I'm sorry, but open pit's awful.
Silence.
It's awful.
I'm just trying to think of the name of it. There was a police and like first responder charity locally here.
Yes.
My wife and I call it cop sauce.
It was
I can't remember.
Patriot sauce.
Yeah,
Patriot
that's good.
Sauce.
That
yeah,
was good.
It's good.
That is maybe the best barbecue sauce I have ever
had. It was so good.
It's unbelievable. So good.
Joel says his childhood memory is the syrup smell of my first car because of the leaking antifreeze. I know that smell. Brian says he doesn't mind a Mall's BBQ sauce on some pork steaks. Amen, brother.
Ooh, dude, yeah. Can I give a shout out to Schnooks really quick?
Yeah.
So I see all the time on like the St. Louis subreddit, people will move away from St. Louis and then they want a pork steak, but they don't know how to like describe it to their butcher.
Right.
You go to Schnooks. You go to the Schnooks at Hampton Village anyway. And in the meat department, there's two signs that say pork steaks. I'm like, we know what people want to eat around here. Yeah. I just thought that was really funny.
A pork steak is just, you take like, if you've ever had a pulled pork, like the pork shoulder, the pork butt, mm-hmm. and you just slice steaks off of that.
Mm.
And that's pork steak. I like to do mine. I like to do it over a big open flame, get it seared, get it cooked 10-20%, and then put it in the old crock pot. Not a giant crock pot guy, but... That's some good eating.
Never made them.
What?
Never even heard of them before I moved here.
Have you had them?
Yeah, they're fine.
Oh, boy.
They're fine.
Oh, boy.
They're fine.
Oh, yeah. Boy. The arch is fine. Pork steaks are amazing.
They're fine. I mean, I don't know. I'm not a huge pork chops fan, and it's similar to that to me.
Because it's the same thing.
I know. Yes, exactly.
And they're better than pork chops. Pork chops are bad.
No, they're
pork
not.
Pork steaks are incredible.
I mean, again, they're not on the list of anything that I would choose at a restaurant. It's just down the list. Now, pulled pork I would go for. That's better.
Okay, so imagine you take all the pulled pork and you mash it together into a steak shape. You got a pork steak.
No, it's not the same, and you know it.
It's perfect.
Glenn says the mosquito truck. Mosquito fogger.
We never had that.
Because you're rich.
Well, no, we lived in the suburbs, yeah. Not in the country. You guys lived in the country.
He lived in a
Why am I so offended by that?
He lived in a palace.
He lived in a manse on the hill.
I lived in like a little, like I mean like, I can't even tell you. There's like
a little palace.
Mansion.
He almost said a little four-story house. Did you hear him?
A three-bedroom ranch.
You had three bedrooms?
You lived on a whole ranch?
I mean, dude, our house was tiny. Tiny. I can show you.
My house was tiny.
Yeah. I bet it was about the same as my first house.
I know.
Now, my parents' second house, the one they bought when I was in high school, that was much bigger.
I just started giving my brother credit for this because I never really considered how hard it must have been. But until my brother was 17 years old and I was about 12, we lived in a bedroom or like we shared a bedroom that was about half the size of this room that I'm in right now. I feel so bad for him having to go through his whole like teen living his whole life as a teen boy.
Your stinky butt right next to him.
Sharing a tiny bedroom with his 10-year-old brother.
History That Doesn't Suck is a legit, hard-hitting American history podcast told through entertaining stories. Join me, Professor Greg Jackson, for History That Doesn't Suck, an Odyssey podcast. Available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.